Morning, everyone.
Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anybody has any cell phones or other audible devices, if you put them on silent now, not to disrupt this meeting. Thank you. Will you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us up to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for this date, September the 6th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? We need to make any changes or alterations to today's agenda?
No, Mr. Chairman, not at this time. We'll have one item where we'll propose no action, but it's still worthy of discussion for a moment.
Okay. Very good. Motion for approval?
I'll move to approve.
I'll second that motion.
Move to and second to approve the agenda for September the 6th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 4. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the minutes for August the 2nd, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for August the 2nd? Seeing none, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second that motion.
Move to second to approve the minutes for August the 2nd, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is our consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I just say look at all those companies that are getting licenses in Sierra County. Two pages worth.
I might add, we had none last meeting, so that's a double header today due to a postponement.
This is impressive. I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
Move to second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Looks like there's 44. Moving up along now to item number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no action to public comment regarding committee and staff reports. Start here on the left side of the building. Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing good.
At the Story County Senior Center, Nicole Barton, anything to report today?
Nicole Bard, Story County Senior Citizen Center. Couple of forward-moving activities. We've interviewed several candidates for the executive director position, and we've got 3 that we would like, that we've interviewed as second round of interviews and are in the process of trying to schedule meeting Pat Whitten's calendar and Sherry and Jesse Fain, because we'd like our county stakeholders to also interview. So we're very optimistic about that. And then secondly, we've had 2 or 3 people who have stepped forward to be on the board, so we're in the process of growing our board, so we're very, very happy about that. A couple of months ago, we had some issues around some reporting and auditing that the state wanted to do with the center and the Department of Aging, and they had come in and found a number of issues with that and essentially had stopped sending us our grant funding until they were able to complete that audit and until we were able to fix those issues. And I'm very happy to report that the corrective action that they asked us to engage in has essentially been completed, and it was done in record time. And for that, I, you know, personally thank Virginia Nevin and Sherry Nevin in particular for guiding us in doing that. So we are back to, you know, I think double A rating. With the state, we've still got a ways to go to get back to AAA rating, but things are moving forward, and we're very, very pleased, and in particular also very pleased with the support Pat Whitten has given us. And anyone in the county that we have asked for help, we've gotten it. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
That's good. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, that's good news. Representing the courthouse slammer, County Museum. Laura Mathers, do you have something to report for us today?
Good morning. Laura Mather, Executive Director of the Historic Fourth Ward School Museum. But I'm actually not here in that capacity. I'm here to talk about Pat Whitten's brainchild, the Courthouse Slammer and County Museum, which will be downstairs. It will take the place of the Peace Officers Museum that vacated. We have a committee of 10 people, 10 people from the county, museum professionals, and then people, just people within the community. So there's 10 of us in addition to some volunteers. The main purpose of this museum, the committee spoke a lot about what was important to us and what we felt was important to the county. So the museum will be the story of the average person, the everyday worker in Story County, basically starting from day one. We wanted it to showcase not what everybody sees and what everybody hears about when they visit Virginia City in particular. We didn't want it to talk about the few that made their millions and left. We didn't want to retell the story of prostitution. We didn't want to retell the story of Mark Twain. We wanted it to be what people don't see every day. So we're going to focus on the diversity in ethnic groups, the diversity in the workplace. We also wanted it to showcase what is known but we don't think is known well enough, and that is the connection to San Francisco. So that major connection to San Francisco and what this area did to not only Nevada but the United States as a whole. So we're also going to have, towards the end of the display, we're going to have Story County Today, so that visitors can see that Story County is a thriving community, it is a developing community, it's a diverse community that's changing. That was also important to us. One thing that everybody does have to remember, though, is that most of us on the committee do have full-time jobs. So it's going to be a long process that we'll do as we have time. So we just hope that everybody understands that. It'll take us a while to get through it. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Any questions for Laura? No, I think it's a great project. Glad you're part of it. And we're not too concerned on how long it takes.
Good.
We know that everything that's going to be done right is going to take a while to get done.
Yeah, it will. It will. We're all really excited about it. So.
I was going to wait, but can I chime in now?
Sure.
I had a couple of comments after Nicole. I'll wait till my turn. But with Laura, I want to tell you, this committee is probably, it's not my brainchild. It's just a crazy thought that, I turned to other gifted people. And I'm amazed. I've never seen such a dynamic team come together and take ownership. Starting with Laura, but going out to the Steve Frady's, Joe Curtis's, Ron Gallagher's, and from a staffing level, Melanie, Sherry, Jesse, and I'm sure I'm leaving others off that, I'm missing, but these folks have taken an idea and just already made it something. It's open today. It is just a teaser. There is only one exhibit open. I'm proud to say it's the Fourth Ward's initial photo exhibit. Brought down from their archives and loaned to us, just stay tuned and watch for more and more to happen. So we couldn't do it without, we couldn't do it much less even do it right, and I promise this is going to be something to be very proud of. We couldn't do it without gifted and talented folks that do take time from their full-time plus commitments throughout our communities, such as Laura and the rest of the team have done. So thank you.
Absolutely. And on that note, the exhibit that's down there now, The Many Faces of Mining. So it's kind of the route that we want to take. It's the average, it's photographs of the miners, the men who worked in the mines every day. It's The Many Faces of Mining. And, again, I encourage everybody to go down there and see what we've done so far. You can see just by the painting that has been done, it's really changing the look of it. It's bringing it up a step, and I think it's going to be really cool.
And the painting, by the way, done from a phenomenal Fourth Ward volunteer by the name of John, who almost is hard to keep up with from many of our perspectives. And again, it's just It's an amazing group of people. And I think you mentioned, or the team mentioned at one of our organizational meetings, that we're trying to tell the people of Story County's story as opposed to the history that everybody knows.
Exactly, exactly. And most visitors, I'm frequently out in our museum when it's busy and I talk to the visitors. And it's really interesting. You may tell the visitor that there was between 20 and 25,000 people in this area, but they don't understand it until I tell them that the Fourth Ward School was one of 11 schools. They're shocked at that. They are shocked. They assume that if a family member, if a relative went to school in Virginia City or in Story County, they went to the Fourth Ward School. They don't realize how many schools there were, how many businesses there were, and fire stations, and stores, and the high-end clothing stores. They just don't see that. So even though we have a pretty small space for the story that we have to tell, that's what I hope the visitor will get, is that story. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you. Okay. Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing to say, thank you.
Thank you. Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. As you recall, we submitted a transportation's alternative grant application to NDOT back just about a month ago, and we are happy to announce that on September 21st, we get to present our application to their steering committee. We passed a couple of hurdles with their review process, so we'll be going down on the 21st and presenting our application with fingers crossed that we receive some funding to make some enhancement to the C Street corridor, so more to come on that. We have a couple of flu shot clinics that are scheduled. The first one is at the Lockwood Community Center on September 14th from 9 to 12. The second one will be here at our Virginia City Senior Center on September 29th from 9 to 12 as well. So Nevada Health Centers will be doing those for us this year. All are welcome to attend. They do accept most insurances. However, they won't turn anyone away based on their ability to pay. Our annual health fair is being held this year at the Mark Twain Community Center. That'll be on Saturday, October 8th. We'll have, again, Nevada Health Centers there as well as various other health-related services. We are fortunate we'll be having the Nevada Health Centers Mammo Van. They just happen to be in town that weekend for a large walk going on in Reno. So. Also, a special thank you to the Carson City Health and Human Services for the recent purchase of 5 portable AED units. Those are automatic external defibrillators. Carson City received a grant, and they purchased these at a cost of about $1,500 a unit. So working with Melanie, these units will be placed at various facilities here in the county. One will be done at the conference facility. We'll have another done at the fairgrounds and Camel Race Arena. One will go to our community chest kids program. Probably one here in the courthouse, and then we'll have an extra there. So that's about a $7,500 purchase there. So happy to have that. At the next commission meeting on September 20th, we'll be presenting information on the upcoming community development block grant cycle. We're already there again. So please be putting your thinking caps on. As I've mentioned last year, they've really changed their focus to economic development type programs. So I just put a notice out today on our website seeking input, but I'll come before you on the 20th and give you a full overview of the program. That's all I have. If anyone has any questions for me.
Anything for sure?
What's the cost of the flu shots?
I am not sure on that, Jack. It's usually around $15 to $20, but if you have insurance, most of the time they cover that. You don't have any out-of-pocket. So. They'll have some limited pneumonia vaccines available as well. They don't really advertise that because they never know what their supply is going to be. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay. Story County's partners over at the Carson Water Subconservancy. We have Ed James today. Good morning, Mr. James.
Good morning. For the record, Ed James with the Carson Water Subconservancy District, and what I'm here to talk about today is sure the emails and phone calls you've received regarding the domestic wells. and the concern that the state was going to put a meter in everyone's well and take their water right from 2 acre feet to half acre foot. I want to let you know that this is not the case. The state this year had a water committee, a subcommittee of the legislature, and they went around the state listening to water concerns and issues. And I've attended most of these meetings, so I know most of what's going on. The issue with domestic wells really comes out of a request from Jason King, who's a state engineer. And this really came down from in Pahrump, in Nevada there, where they have a lot of domestic wells, too many straws in the ground, and the water table's dropping. And the state engineer went to the legislature and says, I need a tool to help because right now, under Nevada water law, if I have to do a curtailment, cut people back, all I can do is cut juniors off 100%. And so there would be a lot of domestic wells that would be cut off with getting no water at all. And Jason says, yeah, state engineer and I are just consciously, I cannot do that. So what he was asking for was a tool that if we needed to and had to cut back people, that they would cut people back to half an acre foot because that would be enough to keep them in their homes. And that was what the original intent was. Well, it got blown out of proportion that the whole state would be under this curtailment, that the state was going to take everyone's water rights and put a meter on it. So at the hearing that was 2 weeks ago on a Friday, it was a workshop for this legislative subcommittee, and they submitted a couple of BDRs to the legislature. One of the bills, and Jason King again pushed for this, was that authority that if he had to do a curtailment, a cutback, and again, this is only if the water table is dropping and there's no other way of dealing with it, that they could cut back the outside use and just allow people to stay in their homes and use it. The other one was if, again, and this is being driven by Pahrump, if there are new development coming out there and more domestic wells, that they would then be able to restrict a new domestic well to a half an acre foot. They're coming with a lot of other ideas. They're looking at trying to import water. There's a lot of different ideas going out there. But this was the worst case scenario, as they see. And again, one of those few tools that he may have. Now, I've heard the question is, what about Story County? Could this happen here? Well, you have the issue in Highlands, if you're familiar with that. You have water tables dropping. You have wells going out. And I have talked with the state engineer, and he has said that if need be, he could come in here and do that. However, he would not do that until he's had public hearings with the public and talked with the commissioner first. He does not want to unilaterally come in here. He's looking for tools to deal with these problems where they're over-allocated. There's other places in the state. You have, like in Diamond Valley, where you have too much agriculture pumping the water and the water table's dropping. They're trying to figure out how to work with that community. What was interesting in one of the statements there was domestic wells would be exempt from any curtailment out there because domestic wells don't take much. It's really the ag wells that are driving that. So each area is specifically with specific needs and concerns. So I just want to put a rest in this community that if you have a concern, and you do know you have a concern in the Highlands, and you are starting to deal with it, USGS is up here monitoring and coming with some ideas, but the state is not going to unilaterally come in and cut people off without first talking with the community and with you and trying to find what plan works for this area in Story County. So hopefully that maybe alleviates some of your concerns. And if someone calls, you can tell them not to worry at this point.
Yeah, how many gallons are equal to a half acre foot?
You're talking about 450 gallons a day. And that's, they did some metering down in Pahrump.
So I'm going to have to multiply that by 365 days to see what my...
Yeah, you get to your half acre foot. Basically, the original one was 1,800 gallons a day get you to 2 acre foot per day. And the BDR that's going forward to the legislature will say you restrict it to in-house use plus water for livestock. So they did add that language in there. And again, this is just a BDR that's going to go to the legislature. That it'll be heard at the next session in 2017. But the state engineer is definitely looking at ways to try to deal with some of these over-appropriated basins where the water table is dropping. And after a while, you know, your choices go deeper. I call it a race to the bottom. How deep can you go? And then eventually, you can't go any deeper and you're going to run out of water.
So if my math is right, that's about 13,687 gallons per month. So I know that most households don't use near that type of water usage.
Even with reasonable landscaping, yeah, I'm trying to remember right. What yeah. My bill is on the system up here. And the average thing to look at.
If you have a large lot and you're out irrigating, some of those people do in Pahrump, you know, here we are, water table's dropping, but they have, you know, an acre plus, and a lot of them have landscaped it fully. Most of that water is going to outside irrigation, and of course down there it's very hot and very little rain. So,
or a pond like we discovered somewhere on a well-served property.
You've had that in areas too, yes.
Can I chime in?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to thank Ed over the years. You know, you and I, you've tried to educate me on all things water, whether it be the Marlette system or the Carson River, and it's been, okay, yeah, but we're not on the Carson River. But I got to tell you, you know, your willingness to help us to come here today, to work with Austin and the county on things like, you know, our situations in Mark Twain also as well as in the Highlands, I'm greatly appreciative of that. And the testimony to that is Austin probably goes to twice as many, if not three times as many meetings as I do in a given month. And I got to tell you, when he comes back excited over and over and over again about one organization, and that's the subconservancy, that speaks volumes. So thank you for all that you bring to the county, and hopefully all you continue to bring to the county through your partnership with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's a cooperation. We live in one watershed. It is a shared resource, and that's our goal. So thank you.
Commissioner, any questions? Commissioner James?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cave.
Thank you for your time.
Right. Human Resources and Director of Planning, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Ed did a fine job on his discussion briefly about what's going on with that. And I think it's important just to reiterate for the community what's incumbent upon us is what the master plan discusses and its goals and objectives is to work with the communities of the Highlands and the Mark Twain Estates to try to come up with resolutions to issues before they become an issue or become on the radar of the state engineer's office. And so I don't think I need to really discuss a lot of what that is because we talk about it quite often about the potential for general improvement districts or other mechanisms for addressing water. And I think we should be proud of ourselves as a community and looking at all this as collaboration so we can be like some of the other areas that have come up with resolutions before, you know, the engineer's office comes with things for us. Very simply, I just wanted to give you an update. State Route 342 is supposed to be paved and closed today for that portion down by Comstock Mining. NDOT is going to put one more layer of asphalt down. It's what they call kind of the smooth finishing layer that they needed the right weather conditions for. There were some technical issues that happened today, so the new plan is for that road to be closed on September 15th all day, and then on September 16th at 6 in the morning, they'll have it open back up for that to cure. Meanwhile, the truck route will be open that one day. And Comstock Mining and those folks have worked with Danny Dodson and other groups in our county to make sure we're all on the same page as far as fire and all that. Secondly and lastly, Jason and I have been working on what the master plan recommends with design standards and the codes and to try to come up with some things for multifamily uses and planned unit developments, large-scale residential type of subdivisions, and getting some of this language cleaned up and straightened out. We're working very closely with Attorney Bob Morris. That's probably going to take a lot of lead on portions of this, is trying to get some of the NRS and their stuff lined up. It's pretty good, but some little bit of cleanup's needed. And we did have our last workshop last Thursday with the Planning Commission, so brought it all out into the open to say this is kind of the direction we're thinking about going, and it was well received, and as a team, we'll start working on it. Thank you.
Any questions for Austin?
No.
Oh, great. Thank you, Austin. Also, we're planning Mr. Van Haven.
That's just it. Thank you.
Mr. Witten.
A few things. I will leave a comment on the status of the BNT the BDR and perhaps the September 9th meeting up to Commissioner McGuffey and board report. And I might suggest to you, Mr. Chairman, that you might want to report on quite the Labor Day we seem to have up here on the Comstock with state assembly people, national congressmen, secretaries of state, and I don't know how many other visiting dignitaries we conceivably had up here yesterday for that, but it was a great day. Relative to one that particularly Commissioner McGuffey and I have been working on, our infamous monument marker on SR 439, I got a very encouraging call from Lee Bonner at NDOT. He's the government affairs liaison. We chatted through the pros and the cons and the obstacles of that particular design of the monument. And I think we've got the attention of NDOT at the level that we would like to, and we're focusing on a solution-based approach. So stay tuned with that. I might add that the reason why the sculptor hasn't apparently started, even though materials have been ordered, is she was up at Burning Man. So I think, again, that kind of just cements the fact that this may be very appropriate in some locations, but perhaps not others. I want to thank Nicole also. She can suggest thanks to the county, and that's deeply appreciated for the level of support. But the proactive work by the entire board, but under Nicole's leadership, has been phenomenal to watch at the Senior Center. I think we've not only turned the corner, we've turned the corner and now have nothing but great places to go with this. And I think we can definitely be proud of our Story County Senior Center and all those that are there. And I look forward to a long and happy future with them. Second to last is our Justice Court Courthouse Annex. I joked at morning staffing this morning that perhaps we ought to go back to modular design units because this particular location has moved more times than I've seen any potential building move inside Virginia City. We were looking at the north side of the courthouse, now the south side, then down to the jail, who knows where else, and we're giving it one last long, hard run here at the courthouse. If we can, trying to integrate that with our parking lot program. But we've got a very gifted team that's working that, and also that's working with the courthouse painting as well that I'm going to get to in just a minute. But, you know, our architect, Pete Dubay, is phenomenal. You know, again, I thank everybody that's involved in this because it's going to be an expensive project, and, again, one of those that if we're going to do, we want to do right. And lastly, I think I've reported previously, we're hoping to get a fresh coat of paint on the courthouse, hopefully before the weather. We get weathered out this year. It's not an easy thing painting this building, much less an easy thing logistically to paint it. She is a historic treasure, so we have to go through an awful lot of added precautionary steps, such as gaining approval from the State Historic Preservation Office, for all in recognition of all the grant monies that they provided us over the years. Obviously, Bert in the Comstock Historic District, who is very keen on this project. Radcliffe, our chosen, at this point, unless we have to go out to bid, Radcliffe, our chosen painter that would be doing the work. The National Park Service is even involved. But between Sherry, Elise, again, Pete Dubay, our architect, Bert, and others, with any luck, we still think we can make it. We kind of work forwards and backwards into this timeline. And we've even shipped off paint samplings up to Oregon, I think. And there's way too many emails for even me to keep track of at this stage. But they're digging down into all the different colors and trying to essentially do a paint equivalent of carbon dating. And coming up with what paint color was what when, and then we can go forward from there. So I doubt you'll see it in the next 2 weeks, but hopefully by our Christmas party it'll have a wild paint job to it. And most importantly for now, we will have arrested the decay, if you will, which is very important to us because there's a lot of work that needs to be done that may not be visible to the average bearer that isn't
just paint. It's a lot of deterioration over the many years. So, and that's it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Great. Any questions for Pat?
No.
Okay. Anything on the clerk's office today, Vanessa? Nothing today? Okay.
How about our leaks?
That's a good idea. Yeah, I'm not used to them sitting over here. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. We have received, my office has received a lawsuit filed by MMR&D LLC, which names as defendants the state of Nevada and Story County. And essentially they are requesting the issuance of permission to conduct a medical marijuana dispensary on C Street. That complaint we will forward on to the pool. It does have a claim for damages in it. It's possible that we will handle that in-house with the pool's consent to that, and I think they would consent if we choose to do that. But that has been filed in the Second Judicial District Court down in Washoe County. That's something that may change because the county has the right to have it moved here if we want to pursue it here. But we'll address that with the pool and see where we want to go.
Very good. Any questions? Great. Thank you, Keith. All right. And that concludes committee and staff reports. We'll move on now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment on this. Commissioner McGuffey, do you want to start off?
No. Mr. Whitten has pretty much covered my points. Clearly, thank you.
Yeah, I think the only thing I was hoping, Commissioner McGuffey, if you might mention, the BDR has been submitted to LCD. So we're in there, and I believe there is a workshop meeting for the various interested parties on the 19th, I think, of September, which I believe Commissioner McGuffey plans on attending.
That was a workshop for a 5 and 10 year, the V&T. The chairman, Dwight Millard, is having a meeting on the 19th. I believe that's the date I have.
It is, sir.
Well, I might not have entered it yet.
It is. It's on the 19th of the afternoon.
So, and that's to try to put together, it's a workshop just to try to put together a 5 and 10 year plan, just so we have some known direction. And I think it's very much needed.
Yeah, I think our comptroller will be attending together with myself.
Yes.
All right. Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing good, sir. Thank you.
All right. I don't have too much today, but to speak about this weekend, the Labor Day weekend celebration was a big hit in Virginia City. All three days, the town was packed with people, and our unfinished parking lot here to the south was jam packed with cars, as it is on almost every weekend special event. We had the Civil War reenactors here putting on their demonstration of the Union versus the Confederacy for the Civil War. The parade went for about an hour. It was very well attended, both by participants and by the public audience. We had a lot of Civil War reenactors. We had a lot of the local docents who participated, some of the locals with their cars. And then, of course, since it's an election season, we had several candidates who were up here, some who were in the parade, some who weren't. Congressman Joe Hecht, who's running for the Senate for Harry Reid's seat, was here with his wife and entourage. I saw Congressman Mark Amadei was in town. Secretary of State Barbara Sagaski was in town. Who is it, Simon? Anyway,
yeah,
I missed the gathering at the canvas by about 5 minutes, so I was out searching the streets, finding everyone. But
anyway, it was a big successful weekend. I think the merchants did very well. Just a great attendance. That's what we like to see.
That would have been an assembly candidate, Carol Del Carlo, I believe.
Okay, she's running for the Board of Regents. Okay. Yeah, Carol Del Carlo. She's married to a longtime resident, George Del Carlo, from here in Virginia City. I think I was remiss in mentioning the passing of Mike Miller a couple weeks ago. Mike was a longtime Comstocker. He was a star basketball player at Virginia City High School, playing for the Muckers. Went on to college at the University of Nevada. Became a professional bartender at Jesse Beck's Riverside and the Reno Sahara, which was a premier casino in its day in Reno. Came back to the Comstock with his make his family here, and worked for Story County for approximately 10 years. He was our water master here. He took care of the wastewater treatment plant and the freshwater coming in from Marlette Lake. So Mike was only 65 at his passing, and so he said we dearly missed his friends and family. So that's the end of my comments. I've been asked if we'll go ahead and move item number 10 up next, since we have someone in the audience who probably needs to move on. So this is item number 10, discussion of possible action. This is appeal of special event denial pursuant to Story County Code 8.28.060 for bicycle event in Virginia City on September 17th through the 19th, requested by Adventure Corp.
Mr. Chairman, if I may take the lead on this, I'm pleased to announce at the end we're going to ask you to take no action on this item. This, I think, is an example of the way we govern here and the way we work. This event was proposed on September 18 and 19, as I recall, for up here. The event also has some organizational stuff going on in Reno on the 17th. But the impact on Story County would occur primarily on the 18th and 19th. Initially, we flat denied this request for a multitude of reasons. They're included on the documentation that's in your agenda packet. Essentially, those were, it ran concurrent with an event that we're concerned may fully tax our ability to provide emergency medical services, and that might be the way it was rodeo, keeping in mind this is the first rodeo that's been up here in many, many years. And also there were a few other various reasons as well. So under the county code that allows the county manager or my designee in this case to decline the event, I did. That created some dialogue, which we were glad for and grateful for, from both the event coordinator, a gentleman by the name of Chris, I think Anderson, I can't recall, from Adventure Corp. And most importantly, what it did is it created the emergence and the dialogue of a long-time person I've respected. I can't even call him by his first name. I only know his first name is Mr., but Mr. Schrank, Rick Schrank, from the high school. Everybody knows that Rick's Story County's bicycle nut, bar none, and he stepped in and kind of helped work resolution of this, not only for this year, but in following years. So Rick's taken time away from the time down at the high school, and I don't know if he would like to speak, but at this stage, I want to tell you ultimately staff's recommendation is we take no action on this item because the matter's been resolved. Sheriff, I believe, is good with it. Fire and medical services are good with it. Public Works is good with it. Special events is good with it. So long story short, we're good with it.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Mr. Schrank, did you wish to speak?
I don't really need to.
Okay. Good enough. All right. At this time, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding this item.
You're the one that saved it, Mr. Schrank. Thank you.
Okay, Commissioners, so it's a recommendation of staff that we take no action on this. If I can get a motion to take no action.
I'll move to take no action on this issue.
I'll second that motion.
We move to second to take no action on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Thanks for coming up, Rick.
Let's go back in line and go back to number 8 now. This will be discussion of possible action. Amend the cooperative agreement for the creation of the Nevada Works by and among 13 counties of the state of Nevada and the Nevada Works in order for the agreement to conform to the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014. This action corrects an error and provides added clarification in the existing cooperative agreement approved on 5/17 of 16. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This should be pretty brief. I'll give you a little quick update again of, once again, what Nevada Works is. I'm sure you've all heard of Join Job Opportunities in Nevada. You've heard, you know, WNC has workforce development programs. There are the Community Chest provides workforce development for youth and adults. There are programs out there that help rehabilitate prisoners and make them workable where they can be successful in society. These things all need funding, and the federal government through the Workforce Innovation Act provides that funding. They block that funding. They provide it to the state of Nevada as well as other states in the union that participate in these kind of programs, and then the state of Nevada says, well, let's come up with a board of directors that consists of county folks, businesses, private sector, public sector, all different kinds of people to help distribute this money where really it should be best used in these organizations at the local level. And that's what Nevada Works is. I sit on the Nevada Works board and I participate in most of its subcommittees. And what this is really is a memorandum of understanding between Nevada Works and us that says Story County, as well as 13 other counties that are within North Nevada Works jurisdiction, we don't do Southern Nevada, saying that we agree to use Nevada Works to provide these services. We will provide a representative on the Nevada Works board for this purpose, and this MOU just engages that. The last MOU that was approved in May was fine, but mainly the Attorney General came in afterward and asked that the MOU include some appeal process language and then what parties would pay for appeals. And then while we were doing that update, you know, a couple little minor tune-up things. There was a reference to a WIOA, which is the old Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Now it's just that kind of stuff. So all we're asking, or all John Thurman, the CEO for Nevada Works, is asking, and the Nevada Works Board, is for our county to go ahead and sign on with this MOU as corrected, like we did in May, along with all the other 13 counties in the state that almost to this point have signed on. There's still a couple left.
Okay. So it's just the housekeeping?
Pretty much.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Commissioners, have any questions for us regarding this?
No.
Okay, I'll call for the question. The motion?
I'll move to amend the cooperative agreement for the creation of the Nevada Works by and among 13 counties of the state of Nevada and the Nevada Works in order for the agreement to conform to the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014. This action corrects an error and provides added clarification in the existing cooperative agreement approved on 5/17/16.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to amend this cooperative agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Perfect timing, Ms. Kukuli. We're moving along now to item number 9, discussion of possible action, consideration of letters of interest and appointment of the planning commissioners to fill the vacancy and represent Precinct 4, Mark Twain, on the Story County Planning Commission. The vacancy was posted and letters of interest were received by August the 25th of 2016. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Recommendations have been made from you or to you from our office and from Human Resources regarding the applications received for the Planning Commissioner District 4 down to Mark Twain. We did receive one application. I am very grateful that the application was from Laura Kukuli, who had served very well on the Planning Commission for several years before personal circumstances necessitated her having to leave the commission. She's definitely exhibited excitement about serving her community once again on this capacity, and I really can't tell you enough how much Laura is involved in the Mark Twain community and their community center and their events they hold and trying to get the people down there to, you know, work on a unified cause that helps that community. And she certainly represented that during her term on the Planning Commission. She does her homework. She comes loaded with very good and thoughtful questions, not just for Mark Twain, but for all the communities throughout Story County. She was intimately involved in development of the 2016 Master Plan and is recognized in the Master Plan for her efforts on that plan of coming to the, you know, these meetings with these questions and concerns. She is one of the planning commissioners that would call me on a regular basis and say, you know, what's going on with something? Is there more that I should know about something? I have an idea for something, whether it's a master plan or another thing going on with the Planning Commission. She's the kind of person that will say, you know, do you want to go have coffee and talk about some issues that are facing my community and other parts of the county? So when I come to meetings, I'm prepared and fully aware of what's happening. I'm absolutely ecstatic to have her, you know, exhibit her interest in serving on the Planning Commission again, and I certainly hope that this board appoints her.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioners, any questions for Austin?
No, but as far as I'm concerned, welcome back, Laura.
Is there any public comment? Hearing none? Well, I don't think we could have a more qualified applicant to come back onto the commission than Ms. Cooley. So, motion?
I'm reminded of a time, you know, when we were just formulating the Mark Twain and the new community center down there, and we needed a leadership board to do something that's challenging. And I don't know how Laura does this, but she is a lady that represents so many issues, the hospital there in Carson City and Mark Twain, and she just continues to challenge and carry a heavy load, and she does a masterful job of everything she does. But I remember when I was chatting with Pat Whitten at the time, I said, you know, we need to look at some board members down there that could really make Mark Twain happen. And he said, well, here's number one on my list, and you need to call her and see if she'd have any interest. And by golly, Laura, you did, and I thank you so much for everything you've done for our entire community and Mark Twain specifically. So I'm pleased to make this motion. I'm honored to make this motion, and thank you for the opportunity. I, Lance Gelman, motion to appoint Mark Twain resident Laura Kukui to fill the current Precinct 4 Mark Twain district vacancy on the Story County Planning Commission.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved to second to appoint Laura Kukui to Story County Planning Commission. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if I may I suggest in the interest of time, that we jockey around the agenda just a bit to go ahead and hear items 11, 12, 13, and then move into the brothel licensing matters listed as number 18 and 19.
Okay. So after 13, you'd like to move 18 and 19 into that slot?
Yes, please, sir.
Okay. Okay, so now moving on to item number 11. We're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Liquor License Board.
And before you start on this item, for both items 12, 13, and 19, I'll stay relatively silent on the contents of 19. The sheriff and I have some great conversations last week in which I asked him if he'd be comfortable providing you kind of overviews of the investigations on items number 12 and 13 as well as 19. I promptly lost those. He provided me a great overview. I'll let him indicate that I believe there were no issues on 12 or 13, but he does have those, and that I think is how we're going to go forward in the future with these. I will endeavor to find those and provide them not only to you retroactive of today, but also for the commission record as well.
All right. So moving along now to item number 12, this is discussion and possible action for possible approval of liquor license first reading for Virginia City 601 Vigilance Committee at 120 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, a local nonprofit. Sheriff?
That's just first reading. So far, nothing has been found that would preclude them. I just say an understanding that's going to be their business headquarters, but they're looking at only doing a few special events throughout the year. So,
right, and they are a nonprofit, and they give their funds to charity. So, all right, is there any public comment regarding this item? Commissioners, any questions regarding the item?
Is this so they can have use it at the location that they're registering it, or are they going to use it at parks or whatever functions and stuff like that?
Special event type functions. They had talked with Danny, I guess, earlier this year about potentially doing something at rodeo, but that didn't work out. A few years ago, they were involved in some special events down by the Fourth Ward, and you know, the things like that. They would like to be able to have alcohol along with it.
I'm not opposed to that.
All right. If I can get a motion.
I'll move to approve the liquor license first reading for Virginia City 601 Vigilance Committee, 120 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, a local nonprofit.
I'll second that motion.
All right. I move to second to approve this liquor license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion of possible action, possible approval of liquor license second reading for Mellow Fellow, 171 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. I believe that's the Firehouse Restaurant.
Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. That's correct. He's taking over the operation from Rich Connell. The background investigation has been completed. There was no disqualifying criminal history. The gentleman who is the applicant operates three different liquor establishments, and they seem to be in good standing in their respective communities. All of his business and personal references give him a thumbs up, and his financial status is stable, so I would recommend the approval of his liquor license.
Very good. Any public comment regarding the liquor license for Mellow Fellow? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the liquor license second reading for Mellow Fellow, 171 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
I'll second that motion.
We move in a second to approve the liquor license for Mellow Fellow. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. It's unanimous.
I would suggest that on item 18, you're actually going to adjourn the liquor board rather than
right.
Resource.
That's right. Good job. Thank you. Okay, moving on now to number 18. This time we're going to adjourn as the Story County Liquor Board, and we're going to convene as the Story County Brothel License Board.
Now, Mr. Chairman, due to the fact that I hold a pecuniary interest in the business that may be the subject of this word card issue, I'm going to join the audience and escape from discussion on this issue.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right, moving along now to item number 19. This is discussion of possible action. Request to reinstate the sheriff's card for Jody Diane Rose.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm Joey Gilbert. I'm attorney with Joey Gilbert Law on behalf of here, Ms. Jody Rose. I don't know if you guys wanted me to provide an opening statement or...
Yeah, be my guest.
Okay. Well, very simply, first I want to say thank you for the audience today. And obviously, we're up here today because Ms. Rose applied to have her work card reinstated, and she was denied. She was denied, first and foremost, because the offense that she pled guilty to is one that's a valid grounds. It's under the county or the sheriff's discretion whether or not he can deny that work card, and he did. I want to put that forward first. However, in the code, it says that the sheriff may. It doesn't say shall. It doesn't say must. And so there is some leverage there that ultimately falls to you here. That being said, the code does grant discretion for anybody with any conviction. Now, the key thing here is that the code, it specifically sets out certain crimes. And one of those crimes is any type of a theft offense. And this was a theft offense. So I want to make that very clear. However, it was what's called a conspiracy. And a conspiracy, as some might know, is a legal fiction. I'm the one that secured that that plea deal for her, and I did it specifically because of the term conspiracy. And what took place here is this. It's, and even though that's questionable whether or not that exact crime, because it's conspiracy, would fit, we're going to go with it because I think that, you know, we all know that a conspiracy being a legal fiction, it was for a theft-related crime. So we're just going to say that it falls under the codes and the ability for the code to, and for the license to be denied. So now, what I want to talk about very quickly is this, is, you know, this is a situation with a lady who has been working in these businesses and in this business for a long time. She's never had any situation before. She's never been accused of theft. She's never had a client or customer accuse her of theft. And she is not only a very good person, but she's has two sons that I know personally. So she is raising a family. She uses this money, obviously, to survive and to live with. And at the end of the day, what we want to talk about very quickly is that she's maintained a track record of doing the right thing. She's never had a situation before, like I said, in this business or any business. And at the end of the day, what I wanted to discuss with you all today is that if she's prevented from working in a lawful and legal capacity, in a safe capacity, all we're doing is turning her away and possibly back out onto the street. And so that's what I wanted to discuss with you guys here today is that, you know, this is a situation with someone where the crime that was committed, and it's my opinion, it's why I was able to secure what I did with the district attorney, was because she was absolutely set up. A boyfriend of hers, someone she was dating from Canada, that fled here, and the DAs and I did everything we could to try and get him back here, because this man continues to terrorize her on the internet, terrorize her on Twitter, terrorize her on Facebook, on emails, and we've been able to do nothing to get this man back here because he's a Canadian citizen, and he's done this numerous times. So what he did is he invited her into a hotel that he was staying at, told her she could purchase things or take things from the gift shop, charge them to his room. She did that, and then after that he called the police on her. And because he was not in the town, there's nothing we could do about it. Now, the Atlantis Hotel Casino, because of the situation, was very, very understanding about it. They decided not to push the charges any further, but the city, and the county, Washoe County, is the one that ultimately took it. And because Atlantis was allowed us to make restitution, which she did in full immediately, they had no problem with allowing the district attorney to handle how they wanted to, which is how we ended up with the conspiracy. And that's essentially why we're before you here today, is I'm asking for leniency under the grounds that this is a woman who has never had a problem before, and you could check the records of the businesses she's worked at. She's never been accused of having a theft-related issue as it applies to the business. And if ultimately this work card is being given to her because it's the business in mind and clients in mind, then I think we have, you know, a safeguard there that she's never done this before, and I don't think it'll happen again.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Sheriff?
A couple of things. Mr. Gilbert
yes, sir.
Pretty succinctly sums everything up, but it is a matter of discretion for the board. It does say that the sheriff may deny the card. The card was denied on the basis of this most recent action. The only thing that I would probably offer in contrast to Mr. Gilbert's statements is that the applicant has had other run-ins in the past with the law, whether Mr. Gilbert was aware of those or not. But this was a recent issue that was just resolved this past year. So I would leave it to the board.
So was this information provided to your office on the application?
The information initially was provided, yes.
Okay.
We waited to get the actual results of the checks, and we do have copies of the reports. The arrest was felonious charges, plea bargained down to gross misdemeanor.
Okay, so this arrest wasn't omitted from the application?
No, it was not.
Now,
it's just
a disqualifier.
It is a disqualifier. It has a 3-year window. It asks if you've been arrested for any of these types of offenses, convicted in the last 3 years. It's been the practice of mine that if somebody falls into those disqualifiers, the work card is denied and they're directed in front of the full board, to where if the board wants to overlook it, then they're welcome to do so. But that's been the standard practice with the sheriff's office.
How long ago was this arrest made?
The arrest was in 2014. The case was adjudicated in 2015.
Okay.
And again, that was for a reason, guys. I specifically continued that case out, pushed it out as long as I could. So she's been working with that card since this arrest. There's been no prior contact with law enforcement. There's been no additional contact with law enforcement. And they did that for me at the district attorney's office in Washoe County, because I was trying to get more information on this gentleman in Canada, and they were actually working with me. So we continued this thing almost a year while we went through the process, because she maintained her innocence the whole time. I believed her, and I didn't want to see her plead to it. But I did call up here and find out that a gross misdemeanor for conspiracy may or may not be something that would disqualify her, but the sheriff is right. It is a disqualifier, and again, that's why I'm in front of you asking for leniency.
Okay, well, I think the sheriff is countering your explanation that there was no encounter with law enforcement prior to this.
I mean prior to us being here. What I meant to say is there's been no contact with law enforcement since this arrest. What happened before then, I'm not exactly sure. The sheriff's right. I don't know her entire record, but this is what I'm dealing with.
There is no record of contact. Since that arrest, there is no record of any contact with law enforcement. That
okay. Anything else within that three-year window that would be a disqualifier?
No. Nothing that has shown up on the record.
May I speak to this as staff?
Pardon me?
May I speak to this as staff?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, obviously this is the most unique set of circumstances I think we've ever had brought before us on appeal. And as the commission knows, Mr. Gilbert may not, going clear back to, I think, 99, and working with the then potential brothel operator, Lance Gilman, who unfortunately is silenced by this because of his position on the commission, you know, I can speak probably more to the intent of the disqualifiers as opposed to how they hard and fast read as the letter of law in Story County. And I would tell you that when we went through the disqualifiers, which I caveat by saying they are definitely under review right now with both legal counsel and the one existing brothel operator in the county to see should we add more, should we put time limits on some of these, should we change them, what are and are not applicable. I don't think we ever really considered this set of circumstances. It's refreshing, I think, to have, you know, legal counsel come in and succinctly, you know, approach this in a way that really there are no significant differences of opinion. She's worked under, you know, presumably under a work card during at least the period of investigation. And I don't know if the sheriff is in a position to be able to clarify if this was a renewal where it was pending and last year she worked because it was still pending or not. That might help, but I would tell you the mere fact that, you know, she had a charge pending since 2014, which doesn't make her ineligible, and she has disclosed, but finally has adjudicated in 15. I think this might be a rare circumstance where I might actually, as staff, advocate for leniency and for exception under the rule based on my knowledge of the intent, subject, of course, to any input from representatives from the brothel. I know Mr. Thompson's here, who may or may not be able to speak. As to the suitability or not, but on this particular one, I would be inclined as staff to recommend going ahead and issuing a work card unless the sheriff had strong overt objections.
Commissioner McGuffey, you want to weigh in?
this is a tough one. I would have to say, because it is a disqualifier, that it sounds like this first applicant would have to wait another year before she could refile.
And if I may, again, not to argue with one of my bosses, sir, but to simply tell you, I think, again, when you look at the intent, regardless of how it has hardened and fast into written words over the years and the codes, you know, the intent was
they would be disqualifiers, but to the extent that they were permanent disqualifiers, I think there ought to be, and there was intended to be, at least shades of gray that you could never write into law, that a pending conviction is not a conviction, of course, but that a conviction eventually in some of these lesser crimes. I mean, I think, and maybe it's a matter of individual thoughts and values. You know, I think an offense on drugs is an offense on drugs, hard and fast. I know that the brothel operators in the past have been demonstrably adamant that they don't want drugs in the brothels, period.
Has there been any filing of false claim against her?
Oh, yeah. Well, as much as we could do with the DA's office, again, this gentleman lives in Canada. He's a Canadian citizen. I had some of the SET team guys working on, they were trying to actually lure him back here. That's how bad this was, because he's done it other times.
But he has a jewelry shop here?
No, he's not a jeweler.
Because you said he took...
No, he had a room at the Atlantis where they were staying. He asked her, he told her she could come down there and she could put charges on the room to go to the spa, so she did that. And after she did that, they sent security to her room. He called in and said he never gave her permission to do it. But the people in the spa said, yes, someone had called and said he could use it. But like the DA said, look, our hands are tied, because we've got one person calling in saying he didn't give her permission. And after that, the guy disappeared. And so we spent a year, literally a year, while she worked the entire time, a year and a half, dealing with this. No problems, no contact with law enforcement, no additional anything. And this is a one-time deal with this individual, too. So he's gone, and we were not able to do anything further. But again, it was because of the DA's office and them seeing that this was an issue that they allowed us to plead this down and pay restitution and let her go. And she's already been...
What category of crimes did she have before?
Well, they were the arrest was initially felony, but they were reduced down to gross misdemeanor. But if I can just touch on something that the county manager said, maybe help add clarity. First, I'm not tied to this any way, shape, or form. It's just standard practice. If they hit the disqualifier, I deny it. It comes to the board for a full board review. The applicant in this matter, her past dealings with law enforcement were 10 years ago. There is nothing since the arrest showing up on this. And as the county manager said, because it was a pending action at the time of her renewal last year, she was granted the work card last year, and it's because it's now been adjudicated and shows up with a disposition is why she was refused this year. My understanding of all of the ordinances is just the protection of the public. I mean, basically, she got a freebie last year because of when the renewal fell. So I don't know if there's really an issue or not with approving or denying this either way. The law is behind us to deny. I don't know if the public is at risk if we approve, so I'm not tied either way.
I think the county manager had mentioned that he'd recommend reinstatement unless the sheriff was adamantly opposed. Is that pretty much, I get that right?
That would be correct.
So would you be opposed for reinstatement on this, based on everything we've heard?
Just said I have no opinion one way or the other. It makes no difference to me. Just following a standard practice.
Sure. I know.
And if I came across as critical in any way, Sheriff, that was not my intent. I appreciate this is standard protocol. This is the way we do it. So.
I'm thinking that after the testimony that we've heard here, Commissioner McGuffey, is that if everything that Councilor Gilbert has told us is true, and that
well, I've got more information since I made my statement too.
I'm leaning towards leniency on this, and I guess that would be provided that. There were no more incidents, you know. If something else were to come up in the future, you know.
She's done. Yeah.
And that's a privileged license, so if something did come back up, you guys can yank that so fast.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Would you like a motion?
Not yet. Okay. We'll go ahead and take any public comment on this matter. Anyone? Okay.
I'll make a motion to reinstate the sheriff's card for Jody Diane Rose.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second.
to go ahead and reinstate the Sheriff Scarford, Jody, Diane Rose. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion.
Aye. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for hearing me today. Okay.
Thank you, Sheriff. Good luck, Ms. Rose. Now we're going to adjourn as the Story County Brothel License Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. I believe that moves us on to number 15. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr.
Chairman. Okay, thank you. This is possible approval of a general nonprofit license, second reading for Virginia City 601 Vigilance Committee, 120 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, a local nonprofit. So this is just a regular business license.
Mr. Chairman, I think in the general information that the sheriff had relative to Mellofellow's liquor license, even though he does not vote on this, there were no issues. So it would be recommended that they have that they be granted their license.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this this license?
Excuse me, I misspoke. 601 Vigilance Committee. I'm ahead here.
Yeah. Motion for approval?
I'll move to approve the general nonprofit license, second reading for Virginia City 601 Vigilance Committee, 120 South B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, a local nonprofit.
I'll second that motion.
I moved in second to approve this license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 16. Discussing a possible action, possible approval of general business license and cabaret license, second reading for Fellow Mellow at 171 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Mr. Chairman, again, although there is a condition on here that I will be sure and follow up with, because I am aware that both our fire inspections and our building inspections have been conducted. There have certainly been some changes in the premises structure. But I would suggest that the sheriff is generally ready to have that general business license and cavalry license approved. And should there be any final inspection issues, we will deal with those administratively.
Very good. Any public comment regarding this general business license and cabaret license for the Mellofellow? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve the general business license and cabaret license, second reading for Mellofellow, 171 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Should there be any conditions attached to this?
I'm good. If not, Mr. Chairman, we'll take care of that.
I'll second that motion.
They always have the power of the red tag.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve this license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 17. Discussion on possible action, consideration and possible approval of resolution number 16-445, setting forth reason for authorizing cape sealing at Cartwright Road within Virginia City Highlands for $114,700. As part of the countywide cape sealing program. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. I think there was some belief prior to today's meeting that there's a requirement that a resolution be passed to authorize the expenditure of funds for the cape sealing of Cartwright Road. That would be true if we were giving the money to a nonprofit organization and they were going to spend the money for improvement of some type. They would have to meet certain requirements. But in this particular case, it is the county that has a contract with Intermountain Slurry. And Intermountain Slurry is going to do the cape sealing on a variety of roads around the county, including Cartwright Road. What makes this particular situation a little bit different is that Cartwright Road is not a road that is dedicated to the county for public maintenance. It's, as my understanding, it's still owned by the Virginia City Highlands Homeowners Association. And so the question is the authorization for the county to spend money on a privately owned road. And as you're aware, in the last legislative session, the legislature passed SB 29, which is the limited home rule statute authorizing counties to take jurisdiction and take actions they would not otherwise be empowered to do over matters of local concern. And matters of local concern include things such as public health, welfare, and safety. What I have said, and I've set out in the resolution that is before you today, is that Cartwright Road is the main ingress and egress out of the Virginia City Highlands. It's used by law enforcement for law enforcement services. It's used by the fire district for fire district services. People providing goods and services to the residents of the Highlands use that road all the time. Improving that road by cape sealing it, I think, would fall within a matter of local concern, especially as the legislature has said, if there's any doubt about whether it's a matter of local concern or not, then we're going to say that it does fall within that area. Now, I propose the resolution basically not because it's a requirement, but for purposes of transparency to say, this is why we're doing this. This is our authorization for doing it. And if it's the resolution is approved, what I would propose to do is provide that on to NACO, which will in turn send it to the legislature, because the legislature has directed NACO to let them know about all matters that counties are utilizing SB 29 for. And so I think this is going to fall within that, and they'll have an opportunity to review this. But it's my belief that this will fall within the authority that's granted by SB 29 and submitted to the board for approval.
Is SB 294?
I believe it's SB 29.
229?
This is home rule.
Okay. Home rule.
Oh, okay.
I think this will be the first time we've implemented any type of home rule authorization, isn't it?
It would be.
I think so. Okay.
May I chime in?
Yeah.
I want to recognize it of several people, but I'll start with Mr. Loomis, because not only is it the first time anybody's implemented, I think it may be one of the few times anybody in the state has found an appropriate, applicable way to go ahead and implement this, because this is exactly what NACO has been petitioning for years, to try to say if the statutes are silent to this and it makes common sense and it doesn't involve fiscal or legal structure, then by all means, and it's not contrary to statute, then by all means, you know, use that as a tool, and this will be reported to NACO so that NACO can report back to the responsible legislative interim committees. Also, I definitely want to thank Commissioner McGuffey, who has bulldogged me relentlessly on this to make it happen, whether we were looking at weeds alongside Cartwright or pebbles or rocks in the road. He has been both perseverant and patient. Also, I want to thank Jay Carmona, who tried his hardest to be here today but couldn't, on behalf of the entire homeowners of the Highlands, and especially the 1 acres who he is the president of. They understood last year, by the time that we got in position to do this, that the cape sealers had already moved south for the winter. They're now back. We've already approved the bid. The work is scheduled. So I want to also thank those folks, and also Mike Nevin, for never forgetting that we were integrating this into this project. So it'll be a happy day out there. And if you think about it, really, we can now say that within the span of 12 months, the entire paved sections of the Highlands, all of the county-owned Cartwright, all of the county road Lousetown, all of the private-owned Cartwright, and then back again to the county-owned Cartwright, will now have a up-to-date cape seal that will long extend the life of that asphalt out there. So this
yes,
is a
and I would like to thank D.A. Langer and, of course, Yosa for helping making this work. I know it's been a pain. I mean, it's been a team effort. It's not just me or Pat or Ann. It's been a team effort there. And then Jay Carmona has been a great asset for us in the 1 acres. And he has put out on the blog, too, to try to get the neighbors, the people that live on Cartwright, to clear the weeds back, because they're overgrowing the road, and that's going to be an issue. So,
I can't remember for accuracy's sake. We'll get that information out. But Mike actually has scheduled dates for Intermountain slurry and seal. But it'll be either toward the end of September or, more realistically, I think the very beginning of October that work will be done out there.
Okay.
Good. So would you like to read the resolution? I think we're supposed to read it under the
resolution. I would be happy to read it.
Thank
you. Resolution number 16-445, authorizing use of county funds for cape sealing of Cartwright Road. Whereas NRS 244.137 through NRS 244.146 inclusive have conferred upon boards of county commissioners powers necessary or proper to address matters of local concern for the effective operation of county government, whether or not the powers are expressly granted to the board. If there is any fair or reasonable doubt concerning the existence of a power of the board to address a matter of local concern pursuant to this paragraph, it must be presumed that the board has the power unless the presumption is rebutted by evidence of a contrary intent by the legislature. NRS 244.1461C. And whereas Story County has entered into a contract with Intermountain Slurry Seal, Inc. for the cape sealing of roadways throughout Story County, and whereas a portion of the contract with a value of $114,700 is intended to cover the costs of cape sealing approximately 31,000 square yards of Cartwright Road within the Virginia City Highlands, which are owned by the Virginia City Highlands Property Owners Association and have not been accepted for maintenance and repair by Story County. And whereas the roadways within the Virginia City Highlands proposed for cape sealing are open for use by the public, are used by the Story County Fire Protection District for fire prevention and suppression services, are used by the Story County Sheriff's Office for law enforcement purposes, and are used by service suppliers and delivery services for the provision of goods and services to the residents of the Virginia City Highlands, and whereas matters of local concern are deemed to include matters that affect local public health, safety, and welfare in the county, NRS 244.1432A, and whereas the cape sealing of Cartwright Road will allow greater access to public safety and fire vehicles, safer use of the road by residents of the area, safer access by public and private entities providing services in the area, and is a function that has been provided by Story County in the past and does thereby serve a public purpose and is a matter of local concern. Now, therefore, is it hereby resolved as follows. The Board of County Commissioners of Story County does hereby authorize the expenditure of $114,700 for this cape seal of 31,000 square yards of Cartwright Road within the Virginia City Highlands as part of the countywide cape sealing project.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this issue today?
Thank you. Jason Van Havel, Highlands resident. I just wanted to extend a very sincere, heartfelt thank you for these efforts to Mr. Carmona, Commissioner McGuffey, the entire commission, DA's office, and Public Works for efforting to deliver this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay. Motion to approve.
Commissioner Jack McGuffey, move to approve resolution number 16-445, setting forth a justification for cape sealing Cartwright Road in the Virginia City Highlands, and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second.
We move the second to approve this project. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 21, discussion of possible action, approval of the second reading of business licenses.
Mr. Chairman, I can take this one on behalf of Dean Hamor and the Community Development Department. They are proud and happy to recommend approvals of licensing items listed on the agenda as items A through R and also item T. So those items inclusive would be Illinois Tool Works, Advanced Countertop Design, LB and K Inc. Contractor, Lee Contracting, Inc., D.C. Barrage, LLC, DBA Best Events for Event Production, KUKA Systems of North America, Mons USA, Bartle Dispensing Technology, Inc., DBA BDT Tronic, or BD Tronic, Toyo Systems Company Limited, Crystal Employment Services, Wright Celebrations, Inc., I'm not sure if that's precision or precision. We'll go with whatever it is. L is either Precision or Precision Company, a contractor from Japan. It's probably Precision. Sierra Maintenance, Inc., Inveridge Systems, Inc., Above the Line, LLC, First Class Landscaping Construction, Inc., TW Vending, Felix Lighting Corporation, and then Skipping S, Thrive Market, Inc., all to be approved. Items A through R and item T.
Okay, that's it. Any public comment regarding this licensing? Hearing none, I get a motion for approval of items A through R and item T.
I so move.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners. And then the recommendation from Community Development is to continue item S, Aqua Metals Reno, Inc. We still have some ongoing construction that may be on there for a little while, but they're continuing to put the finishing touches on their plant that I believe all of you saw at the grand opening a few months back.
Okay. Any public comment regarding item S? Can you continue? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll so move.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that motion.
Okay. It's been moved and second to continue item S, Aqua Metals, to a future meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 22, public comment. Ms. Kukuli, come on down.
Good morning. My name is Laura Kukuli. I'm a Mark Twain resident. First of all, I want to say I'm humbled by all the things that Austin said about me today. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to hold a candle to all that, but I'm going to try really hard. I think one of the main things I've really missed about not being on the commission is kind of missing a beat for our community. I know that you read through the notes, but I always think face-to-face in the room and talking with people and understanding what's happening down in our community and the improvements that are happening, and I still feel like it's such an important thing. I also believe, though, that the county has placed a lot of emphasis on our community this last couple of years, and I'm thrilled. But I think the one conduit that I have to say is the help that Sherry Nevin has given us. She truly is a representative of our county, and what she does for us, it's endless, and she always keeps us informed. She always makes it happen for us. And I hope that going forward that we will continue to work together as we do now, and that she has improved our, you know, she takes no credit, so she's as humbled as I am by having a position as such as we do. And I know that we will continue to work together and just really improve our whole county on the whole. So, again, thank you from my heart to approve me, and I look forward to working again with you all. It's always so exciting to come up here when you hear second and first and, you know, all the things that go on. So it's it kind of renews you and gives you a charge going forward. So thank you again for the opportunity. So.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Come on up, Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney, it was about 25 or 26 months ago that County Manager Whitten and Commissioner Gilman and myself were in a war room down at the legislature, and the pressure was on. It was fast and furious with legislators and senators and the governor's office on the Tesla matter. And since that time, this commission and the county staff has had to consider a number of different packages to accommodate Tesla and Switch and their development. And I think today is probably the best day of all to recognize how successful this has been on the part of the county staff as well as the county commission in the decisions you've made. By my count, on the agenda today, for those that haven't seen it, there's two full pages of companies applying to come into Story County and work for the first time, about 44. And then on the last two pages, there's another 20 who are getting their second reading of businesses coming into this county today. I mean, this is just remarkable. And what a success this has been. If you go out to Tesla today, there is steel going up on the west side of that building. 150 workers are putting up steel girders, and another 100 workers are putting in footers on the north side of the building for another 3 million square feet of Tesla footprint. The building's going to be about four times the size it is today in 1 year's time. So I think the public may never fully comprehend the contribution that you guys have all made to this county, but this is a remarkable day, and I didn't want it to go by without notice and without a thank you from TRI. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Chris.
If I may just chime in, both to Chris and to Commissioner Gilman and to countless others that aren't here, including Bob Sater, Roger Norman, and I'm going to be missing some people. Thank you for that, but also, as we all well know, it takes a partnership, and that's how we live, and that's how we succeed when you go out. I think I've told this story, if not to this commission, but at least to people one-on-one. I watched Sam Shadd and Nevada Newsmakers several weeks back, and then one that Commissioner Gilman referred to most recently. They have the assistant city manager on for the city of North Las Vegas, and Mr. Shadd was congratulating him and North Las Vegas on Faraday Futures, as is appropriate. And this young man's, the question to the young man is, what do you do next? And his answer was point blank, we learn how to mimic and copy what Story County does. And what they must realize is Story County is an ingredient, and then the other ingredients along the way are all those other partnerships, as Commissioner Gilman so well noted on Sam Shadd, GoEd, Governor Sandoval, NV Energy, and obviously from my perspective, TRI. So I've never had a private sector partner like that that I'm so grateful for.
Including.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat, very much. Very much, thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.